Our state capitol report continues on this Memorial Day with talk about Governor Walker's record on veterans issues. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, May 26th. We will talk with a Wisconsin war veteran who is not all that happy with Governor Walker's record. And indeed, he says Governor Walker has duped many veterans. We'll find out why, and we'll welcome your reactions and your questions. Maybe you're a veteran and you agree or you disagree. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Michael Gourley, a retired lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, a Wisconsin National Guard who served in Afghanistan and during the Vietnam era. He's also an executive board member of the Wisconsin Association of Concerned Veteran Organizations and an appointed member with the Wisconsin Council on Veterans Programs. Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us on this Memorial Day.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your service. And before we get into the the meat of the interview, what any thoughts you'd like to share on this Memorial Day?
Well, first off and foremost, you know, I'd like to share my thoughts out to the Gold Star moms, dads, sisters, brothers, cousins, uncles, aunts, friends, basically all those who lost ones that they loved and supported in our nation's most recent wars and the wars that went prior. My heart goes out to you for your sacrifices and the sacrifices of your family. We can continue to honor their memory by assuring that their fellow comrades are receiving what they need throughout their recovery. So may this be a safe, solemn day of remembrance for you, and God bless you all.
Well, you did. You were quoted in a recent Associated Press story that caught our eye about Governor Walker's treatment of veterans and his record when it comes to issues dealing with veterans or affecting veterans. Explain your quote when you say Governor Walker is duping veterans.
Well, the purpose of that term is dissatisfaction with the talking points that he uses to try to support his position. When I take a look at Governor Walker and his record on veterans, you take his last bill, and it would be disingenuous of me to say that that bill was not supportive of veterans. It was when you take a look at the budgetary challenges that existed at the time and what was put forth the veterans' way, that was a very, very supportive budget. So I could say nothing against it. Where I would find things to be a little bit different is when you pick particular topics or particular bills, that there's a competing interest between what veterans would need and what the business community would rather have. And everyone I'm aware of where those two types of situations have come head-to-head, veterans have fallen second.
Yeah,
and those other issues have gone ahead. And, you know, a couple of those, which I'm sure you're aware of, is the asbestos bill that failed.
Now, why was that? Yeah, that why was that asbestos bill one of particular concern for veterans?
Well, the talking points out of the governor's office, if I recall correctly, basically said, you know, this really isn't a veterans bill per se, and it's not. The issue is, however, that 30% of the mesothelioma victims are veterans, and based on the on those numbers, when only 7% of Wisconsin's population is veterans, that kind of makes it a veterans issue, and they definitely have a stock in the outcome of legislation like that.
And that bill would have made it makes it harder to sue or collect damages if you're a victim of this.
Correct. And a lot of these veterans picked up asbestos exposure not only on their military duty but in jobs that that they had after they left the services. I think that we should have paid more attention to their needs on that particular issue. However, the business interests were strong enough that that wasn't allowed to go through. Now, one can debate it back and forth whether it should or shouldn't. I personally feel it was a loss for veterans.
Yeah. And, of course, the supporters of that bill, including Governor Walker, it wasn't meant to hurt veterans. It was meant to prevent, I guess, trial attorneys from, as he puts it, double dipping.
That portion of the argument I'm not that familiar with. And when there is, if you sit down and agree that an initiative is there to help veterans, but there are side issues which make it more difficult, the focus should be, if you're a veteran focus, to minimize those side issues. How can we reconstruct this so that that dynamic that you just described doesn't happen, but at the same time the veterans are getting are able to sue for the damages due to asbestos damage?
Yeah. Well, besides that that law that makes it harder to get damages or sue for asbestos illnesses, what else is on Governor Walker's record that was not so veteran-friendly?
Well, there was the celebrated case regarding a young Marine combat veteran, Eric Kaiser, who in 2004 had, shortly after coming back from two tours in Iraq, and wound tighter than a drumstring, got in a post-bar fight and had a felony charge against him for that fight. He was experiencing post-traumatic issues at the time, and he was charged and convicted of a felony. We all know the rest of that story. He has gone on to be an absolutely wonderful citizen by all indications. He wants to be a police officer. He wants to turn all of these things around, but unfortunately the governor has taken a position that he's not going to pardon anybody. Well, in a way, you know, as you look at this, Eric Peiser did this in 2004. In 2008, we started coming up with the concept of veteran treatment courts to handle these exact type of situations, to try to steer these veterans through treatment programs involving all sorts of different entities, so that if they successfully get through those programs, those kind of charges would be dropped. So there are provisions now at the front end to basically forgive them for their transgressions and allow that not to affect the rest of their lives, where young Mr. Peiser didn't have access to it back then. Yeah. And that's a shame. I mean, there should be an exception made for him so that he doesn't carry this on his record forever, where it's going to affect him, it's going to affect his family, and his service record as a veteran, it just doesn't warrant that, shouldn't warrant that.
You also were quoted in the article, the Associated Press article, saying that the veterans community should be up in arms over Governor Walker repealing a law that expanded the rights of vets to file state lawsuits seeking damages over employment discrimination. The governor responded that there hasn't been a single vet who has filed a lawsuit, and that, again, this wasn't really a veterans issue. What do you say about that?
It comes down to the talking point that's now used. The fact, when I take a look as a veterans advocate at a situation where nobody has filed for a very worthwhile benefit or a track to address grievances for instance, employment discrimination, and doesn't take use of it, my question is why? Rather than that's the fact and therefore it's not there. So a veteran's supportive way of dealing with that is to take a look into the situation and find out why it wasn't being used. In my research, and I was very active in the research on this particular legislation, very few people I talked to had even heard of it when it was put in to to the law and didn't learn of it until it was being taken out of the law, and then weren't concerned about it because they were being told by the Walker administration and by WDVA that there are federal laws that allow them to sue for punitive damages there, thereby they wouldn't be losing anything, which was totally incorrect. And we provided the information to the governor's office and to the WDVA from the Department of Labor, from the Wisconsin Justice Council, the senior lawyer in the Wisconsin Justice Council, the state law board, and they found that while all the other entities that were part of that law, which was basically tort reform, did have the ability to sue for punitive damages in federal court, veterans did not. So we screamed, keep veterans on there, give them every single benefit that they can have to avoid employment discrimination. And one of the reasons I personally felt that so important is the changing in the dynamics of the wars, our current wars, which are being fought more and more by the citizen soldier. And I was in Guard for 25 years. We've always had an employer support of the Guard and Reserve, and this was a group of men and women who went out and worked with employers to try to inform them of how important this is and not to take unfair actions against their employees who are Guard members. Well, now we got a major share of our combat veterans coming back to their jobs, to their communities after one, two, and sometimes three deployments, and you've got war-weary employers there, you know, that are getting tired of losing money because they're continually having to support these employers. Our position is give the veteran every opportunity to be able to support his position and his job based on his uniform service instead of discriminating against him for it.
We are talking about Governor Walker's performance on veterans' issues or issues that affect veterans, and we wonder, how do you rate his performance? If you're a veteran, do you think that Governor Walker and this administration is looking out for you? Or do you agree with our guests that there are certain areas, certain big areas, where his performance is not all that great? Do you think that Governor Walker is duping veterans? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What other priorities should Governor Walker consider when it comes to taking care of vets? We are talking with Michael Gorley, who is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army and a Wisconsin National Guardsman who served in Afghanistan and during the Vietnam era. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. We are talking about Governor Walker's record on veterans' issues on this Memorial Day with our guest, Michael Gorley, who is the executive board member of the Wisconsin Association of Concerned Veterans Organizations and an appointed member with the Wisconsin Council on Veterans Programs. He was interviewed recently for an Associated Press article that was looking at Governor Walker's veterans record. And we have a number of people who were posting on our Facebook page who were criticizing Walker's appointment of Tim Russell during his days as Milwaukee County executive. Russell was accused of embezzling thousands of dollars from a veterans group. Is that something, Michael Gorley, that concerns you as well?
Absolutely, it concerns me. It concerns me more from from being a citizen than it does from being a soldier. He went in there. He was given a lot of trust to help that organization manage their money, and he defied that trust. And being a veteran himself, he defied that trust among fellow veterans, and that's just something you don't do. That, to me, is akin to leaving a buddy on the battlefield.
Well, the commander of the Wisconsin American Legion says that Governor Walker has given veterans so much already, and that you can't expect that veterans will get every single thing. So Ken Rhines is, I guess, implying that critics are asking for too much, that no one's perfect. What do you say to that?
I think he probably is hitting the nail right on the head. We all look at any budget, and we will all say, oh, there should be more towards this, or there should be more toward that. In other words, we could take that budget, and we could synthesize it and pull out the parts that we think are important to us. My personal prejudice is that not enough of it is going into the issues of our most newest generation of veterans. We're not focusing in on them and their problems. And when you take a look at the statistics, the employment statistics, the suicide statistics, 30% of them have service-connected disabilities, the homelessness. We are not doing for them what we need to do, and we are in a lot of other areas. So I might look at that budget and say, beautiful budget, but hey, what about these guys?
Now,
why aren't we helping these guys more?
What could the state of Wisconsin do to help those guys more?
One example of what the state has done, and it's a wonderful program, it's the Veterans Treatment Court, which I think I might have mentioned earlier, which takes veterans in who are having problems when they get back. They're either mental, substance abuse, a combination of that. Generally adjustment problems from their return service and then getting themselves into problems. The problem with those courts is that they're actually underfunded. There's not enough of them. They can't serve the needs of everybody. I did a little research yesterday and went on to the Brown County court system site, and they basically had a page there with a tin cup, not literally a tin cup, but begging for donations to support this court. I would say we should be putting more of our money, of our budget, into those types of things to help these younger veterans rather than spending it on, and I don't want to dismiss veterans my age or older, but when I look at a 20-year-old veteran and I look at a 63-year-old veteran like myself, I can tell you right where I want that priority to go. It's that 20-year-old veteran who has the rest of his life. I have three young sons who are veterans. Their needs are more important than mine, and that's the way I would see the budget playing out. It would be sitting down and negotiating how this money should be spent.
Of these three issues that were cited in this article, there are others, but the ones that we talked about this hour, where the employment discrimination piece, the asbestos exposure piece, and the pardoning of this Wisconsin War veteran, do you want to see these laws repealed, this veteran pardoned, or do you think that those are that's water under the bridge now?
Well, I think it's water under the bridge until candidate Burke is able to successfully take over as the governor. I have a feeling that she would probably change the fate of that young Marine. At the same time, based on what I know about her management style, I believe she can correct some of these other problems, because individuals who I know worked for her in state government when she was in there found her to be a very she ran it in a very business-like manner, trusted her subordinates to do their jobs, and everybody had a role to do. What has happened since Wisconsin going to a secretary-level position for the Department of Veterans Affairs, the amount of communications has closed down. the amount of talking that goes on between the governor and the veterans groups has decreased to basically the governor talking to the commanders or the secretary of the Department of Affairs talking solely to the commanders, and these other various groups that sit on these councils being left on the periphery. And unfortunately, some of those left on the periphery, you know, balk a little bit, and there's been certain things that they've done to, which feels like a punishment when they aren't following, you know, lockstep with what the department wants. So those are some of the distractions that are also there that you have to manage. And then finally, there is not, that I'm aware of, a veteran from these current wars, a young veteran from these current wars on these boards and councils.
And you'd like
they're being run by us, excuse me for saying this, but they're being run by us old farts who really don't have a good understanding of those young vets' issues.
Yeah.
They need to be made more of the process.
We have less than 30 seconds, so you are, you're a supporter of Mary Burke, and you're public about that support.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Michael Gourley, a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army and Wisconsin National Guard. He served in Afghanistan and during the Vietnam era. Thanks very much to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will talk with the author of the new book, Lucky Planet, Why Earth is Exceptional, coming up in our next hour.